This morning I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We are in the middle of a long study on what it means to be reformed. And by the way, I'm very thankful for the request that came to me some months ago now that we would study this subject. I think that it is a very good study, and it allows me to be able to share much theological truth with you all, truth that is very valuable to the way that that we live and think, and to our hopefully greater ability to reach out to other people around us with the gospel. For the past 4 or 5 sessions, I've been speaking to you on the subject of common grace, which I honestly did not dream that I would come into in the midst of this study. But when I began to prepare lessons on the doctrine of election, and as I began to develop those lessons, I came to the place where I saw that I really needed to deal with the subject because it is largely misunderstood, I think, not only by ordinary Christians who are not Reformed, but also even Reformed Christians themselves. In fact, I think there's probably a great deal of disagreement. I don't know this for sure, but I'd venture to say that it's the case among the Reformed themselves as to whether there actually is a thing called common grace. But I think that you and I need to understand that God is a God of great blessings and overflows with those blessings to all of mankind. And that's what common grace is all about. But common grace has many facets to it. And common grace, we're going to see here in our study this morning, can lead to saving grace. That doesn't mean that common grace is the means that a person can attain to saving grace, because saving grace is only received when God sovereignly comes to a sinner's heart and opens it to receive the truth of the gospel. But there are many blessings in this life that God gives which should and are designed to lead us to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. That's what common grace is all about. Now, I want to read to you here the first 8 verses of Acts chapter 10, and then we'll hear a little bit more about this, because I want to talk to you about the subject of common grace leading to saving or special grace. There was a certain man, it says here, in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid. And he said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now here we see this man, Cornelius, who was a centurion, but God, not being a respecter of persons, which is the subject I've been trying to get to for the past 2 weeks and haven't been able to do it, God, who is not a respecter of persons, according to what he purposed in Jesus Christ, the ethnic and national distinctions no longer were a barrier to the gospel coming to the Gentiles. Now, it had to come to somebody first, and it came to Cornelius according to the sovereign working and will of God. Christ, the Father's Son, had broken down the barrier between Jew and Gentile in making the church out of one new man out of all those he would bring into Christ's church and draw to Christ himself. This man was a very devout man, it says here, before his conversion. Now we need to understand that this man was not converted yet to understand where I'm going with all this. I don't see how we can possibly say that this man was converted yet, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And yet he acts as a Christian. He is a God-fearing man, it says here. He was a devout man. He was a man who continually was praying to the Lord God Almighty, and he was giving alms to other people. We need to understand something about this, that God has an eternal and sovereign purpose in election with regard to moral people. Now I know God only saves sinners, and you and I need to see that. Christ came into the world to save sinners. And yet we don't often think of moral people as needing Christ, do we? And why is that? Can you tell me? Why is it that we don't think that moral people, good people, humanly speaking, do not need Christ?
You don't see their sin as obvious.
That's exactly right, Aaron. They don't see their own sin as clearly as they should, and we who surround them do not see their sin as often. I'm talking about the people who are kind and thoughtful and basically good people, humanly speaking, as we look at them. I'm not talking about the way that they actually are in their heart. Because actually in their heart, they are just as depraved, in fact, in some ways more so than those who are totally obvious and blatant sinners. And I think that the reason for that is the whole idea of self-righteousness, that somehow or another that we think that we can justify ourselves before God. Now, it's very obvious here that God was intending to save this man, Cornelius. He sends him an angel. He speaks to him through this angel in a vision coming to him. And you'll notice what is said here by this angel to this man Cornelius, which we really need to think about and discuss together for a few moments. I wish I had a lot more time, which I don't. But look at verse 4. It says here, when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up to God for a memorial before God." Very interesting wording, I think. Very, very wonderful wording. Here's a man who's doing all these God-fearing things, these practices of devotion, and he's a philanthropic man as well. He gives continually to the poor, and he prays continually to God. And it says here that all these things that he was doing came up as a memorial before God. Now, you'll notice that it doesn't say here that your prayers and your alms have come up to merit favor with you, with God. It does not say that. And you and I need to understand that it doesn't say that. This was a memorial. It was something that God took notice of. God took notice of his being devout. But see, that wasn't the reason why he saved him, was because he was a devout man. That's what I want you to see. I want you to see that this man had much common grace. He had much common grace. It's very obvious that he had common grace. He was acting wisely, lovingly, in a human sense, toward men, reverencing and obeying God according to everything that had been revealed to him. And by the way, it was God's mercy to him, all these things that were being revealed to him. But you see, that by itself would not have been enough to save him from his sins. I hope that you see that. He had much common grace which had been given to him. And we need to understand that God is a God who hears prayer. He hears the prayers of all people, even though he may not answer them if they're not in the name of Jesus. But you notice that this man didn't understand the connection between the name of Jesus and the answers to his prayers until Peter preached it to him later on. Now, he was praying and he was given more light. He was actually given saving light that was going to lead him to Jesus Christ. That was saving grace. But I want you to see here that there's a progression that takes place in a moral person if God intends to save them. And I worded that very strategically there. If God intends to save a person, a moral person, then He does not save all moral people. But if He intends to save him, the moral person already has a lot of common grace. It's a lot of good things taking place in his life, humanly speaking, and you could go on and on about it, couldn't you? But see, that's not the point. The point is that it takes more than common grace for a person to be saved. It takes revelation from God according to His truth, the Bible, and it takes the Spirit of God working in a powerful way. And we'll look more at that next Sunday, and I will develop this more next Sunday as we go. But I want you to think about the fact that God sees the heart, and God sees in secret. And in His common grace, He works His will, giving many persons intellectual knowledge of Himself by means of the Scriptures. But until this is accompanied with saving grace, it will not change that person's heart. But yet, if they're devout, as this man was, he improved upon every single bit of common grace that he was given. It was a memorial before God. It was something that the Lord took notice of. And it's something that's in the Scriptures for us here. And it's something that he remembered. The Lord remembered these things, and he had a mind to save this man. And he did save him. It's interesting, is it not, that this man was seeking God with all of his heart. What means did he come to that? Well, it was because of grace. Not just common, but saving. He was being drawn by the Father. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Well, that's where we'll end our study this morning, but we'll take it up there next week. Keep all these things in mind, and we can talk about them if you like later on. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this precious Scripture of Acts 10 and this man Cornelius and his devotion to You. And we pray that we would be as Christians as devoted to You as he was devoted to You. That we would be in prayer continually. That we would be those who are generous and give to others. That we would be those who are seeking You with all of our heart. We pray that we would see the difference between common and saving grace as we go through this study. And we pray that You would teach us and lead us into all the truth by Your Spirit. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.